Attention. The National Weather Service has issued a hurricane warning for the entirety of the National Hockey League. Please stay tuned for further information from the Storm Cellar.
Welcome back to the Storm Cellar. It's a special day because hopefully he won't flame me for this. If he does, you won't know because I'm going to cut it out. Happy birthday to the best co-host I could ask for. Ray is 84 today. And happy 84. Birthday. In American, that's what, like 50, 52, 53, yeah, something like that?
In Canadian, it's 53. So it's the exchange, right? The exchange rate, it'll get you every time. You know what? I love being the Statler to your Waldorf. Thank you very much for the birthday wish. It's
yes, sir.
How in the world did I ever get to 53? That's what I got on. I have no idea. Still a kid at heart. And I've been with the Hurricanes / Whalers forever. So almost as long as the team's been, you know, I'm as
going to say
the team's been in business. So, yeah, a special day today because, you know, the story with the Storm Cellar, we shine best when we have guests who join
Absolutely.
Us and when we find out about their love of the game, their love of the team that we love so much. And today we have Aaron joining us. Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time to join us in the Storm Cellar. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
We're doing great. Now, Aaron, this is we're going to jump right in because this is what we're all about. We want to hear your story, your love of hockey, your love of the team. We want to hear it all. What got you hooked up into Carolina Hurricane hockey? Why don't you take us through it?
All right. So my dad basically was the one who got me into hockey in general, but more specifically the Canes. He had lived in other places before in the 90s-ish, started pulling for Chicago because that was the closest team to him at the time. And then he moved back here, back home, and found out that the Canes had just recently been established here. So he started pulling for them. And then I was born in 2002. So I've pretty much been brought up on Canes hockey my entire life. So yeah, that's how I got into the Canes. But really, I'm more into hockey in general, just watching the way players move, the more analytic side of it, I guess, helps me better with my game. So I'm kind of a hockey nerd in general.
That's outstanding. And so you said that you play as well? Is that what I'm to understand?
I do. I play sled hockey. And for those people who don't know, sled hockey is an adaptive sport for people with physical disabilities. So instead of standing and playing hockey, we are in sleds with, I guess, buckets would be the right term. And so we are strapped into a bucket that has blades on the bottom, and that's how we skate. And instead of one stick, we have two sticks to propel ourselves.
So they work like I've seen this on TV, and it's unbelievable how agile you all are and the coordination that it must take, because the sticks are small, but they're like ski poles too, because they help propel you, right? You get mm-hmm. your speed going, mm-hmm. but then you got a little short flick of the wrist for those like wrist shots and stuff that you guys mm-hmm. take. I've seen they've done examples with NHL players putting them in mm-hmm. sleds, and they stink compared to people Like they can't get over how difficult it is what you do. How long have you been playing sled hockey?
It's been about 3 or 4 years now. I started pretty much right before the pandemic hit in the U.S. And then didn't come back for a while because we weren't allowed to really be around people. So all in all, it's been around 3 or 4 years. But when I first started out, yeah, it was really hard. It takes a lot of, I don't want to say practice, but you have to get used to the kind of movement that you would have to make in order to play well, which I guess is true for any form of hockey, but it does take a lot of core strength. My abs were feeling it pretty early on after the first few practices. But, you know, once you get used to that kind of movement, it's not as difficult as it started out being.
And I couldn't remember if you were in the Raleigh area or not, Aaron, but I know the Hurricanes have like a sled hockey team. I think they help fund everything. And like sled hockey's, I think, is in the Triangle has been really, you know, they've had a pretty good team like for several years now, if I recall.
Yeah, I am not personally in the Raleigh area, but my dad and my stepmom are. And we actually, I live about 45 minutes away from Winston-Salem, if y'all know where that is.
Oh, yeah.
And
Ray probably doesn't.
We actually, in our organization, we actually have Canes sled players come in every once in a while to help us out, and they do all kinds of stuff. So I know those people pretty well. Yeah, they're a bunch of good people over there.
Man, yeah, I know on Facebook Hurricane Sled Hockey and Hurricanes Youth Sled Hockey, we've seen a number of articles of them always trying to get the word out, because yeah, they I think they've won some championships and all kinds of stuff up there. So it's awesome. I'm glad it's not just the Raleigh area where the Hurricanes are. You know, I'm glad that those programs are starting to expand and exist all over the state, because that's really awesome.
Now, what position do you play? Your forward, defender, or are the positions the same as we see in regular hockey?
They're similar. But I don't think, what's the best way for me to explain this in a way that makes sense? I don't think they're as set as far as when a player has a position, that's generally what they stick to, like 99% of the time. In my experience, it's been more sort of you're put wherever you're needed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So usually I'm a forward, and if I'm not a forward, I'm a winger, mostly because I'm one of the smallest people physically on the team, and so that gives me sort of a speed advantage. And that can be really, really helpful sometimes when I'm having good days. On bad days, it's like, you know, take it or leave it. But, yeah, usually I'm either a forward or a winger.
Now, what I had, you've already kind of shared how physically demanding the game is. How physical is the game itself? Rough? Is it, you know, I don't want to say there's body checking or whatever, but certainly there's collisions. There's no question, right?
Absolutely, there are collisions. It's not super intense as far as the physicality. Because you will, if if you're not cognizant of what you're doing, if you're in a tournament, for example, and you go in and you're being very physical, you will most likely get a penalty and have to spend some time in the box. And nobody wants that, or most people don't want that. But, you know, it's not super physical, but, you know, you are allowed to not board people, but kind of nudge them and, you know, very subtle sort of things. Nothing too aggressive, but it can get pretty physical. One of the Canes sled players, recently, you know, he likes to joke around, and, you know, so we were doing a scrimmage at the end of practice, as we normally do, and he kept nudging me and kept nudging me and nudging me. And eventually I just said, okay, you want to play that game? All right, we can, you know, we can do that. And so I started nudging back, but I'm generally not a physical player as far as like instigating the physical contact. Usually if I'm physical with people, it's because they instigated it.
Right.
So
that's great. I'm not
usually the,
I said that's absolutely great. You're more of the skill player. You're not about chucking knuckles.
More of an aho than a Svechnikov, right?
Exactly. So, yeah. There you go.
Right.
That's a perfect explanation.
That's actually, yeah. I didn't even think about it in terms of, yeah, that was actually, that's, wow. Okay.
You know what? Share that with your teammates. Tell them the Storm Cellar told you. That's the way you are. You're the aho, not special.
As long as after you don't get nudged and you don't Jacob Trouba, right? You don't,
oh,
don't
yeah.
take your stick and start swinging a guy's heads or anything. Yes. Let's keep it.
Yikes. So
it sounds, it reminds me a lot of the way that women's hockey has traditionally been played, where contact is allowed, mm-hmm. but not, you know, real body checking wasn't kind of. So, you know, the contact was okay, but there was a line at which they go, okay, yeah, that you can't do. It sounds kind of very similar.
Yeah. And, you know, it is in that way, but, you know, even there's something called T-boning, and I don't know if y'all know what that is.
I know what that is on when you're driving. T-boning can't be very, if it's the same, I can't imagine how good that feels.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, T-boning is basically when someone either intentionally or not skates into the back of your sled, which if it's done as not forcefully, but if it's done with intention or with some oomph behind it, for lack of a better term, it can really, you know, mess up, but you can pull muscles in your back, and it's not fun to be on the receiving end of that.
No, I don't imagine it does. Just like a regular car accident. Again, we get T-boned, you have those muscles and stuff, but it's more intimate. Like, there's not a big car around you. You don't have a lot of protection, do you? What kind of gear do you wear for physical protection? Like shoulder gear, and like, what do you have?
I'm sure different places have, you know, different amounts of equipment as to, you know, what they can afford and those kinds of things. But we generally wear elbow pads and shin guards, and I'm trying to think. Elbow pads, shin guards. We have cages on all of our helmets, whereas within our organization, a lot of the kids who play don't have cages on their helmets, and that is mind-boggling to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll have, like, visors and things, but not a cage,
not a full cage,
which is crazy. But, yeah, we wear shin guards and elbow pads. I don't know why. I'm always thinking of goalie equipment, and I'm like, no, that's a different thing. But we usually don't really foresee a lot of physical contact. So in the grand scheme of things, there's not much that we really do as far as protection and preventative equipment when it comes to that.
And so now, how long are your seasons? I mean, you're talking about practice. Do you have a league? Is there a championship that you can contend for? How long does it go?
So the season's about over now. So it ends in late March-ish. And starts in usually late September, early October. So it's a few months long, and there are, you know, there are tournaments that we can participate in. And I don't know if there's really a sled championship we can go for. Maybe the Kane sled players know more about that, because as an organization, they're more experienced than we are. So I'll have to see if I can reach out to any of them and ask about that, because I genuinely don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know. But there are tournaments we can go to, and they happen probably every few months. There are multiple a year. We just participated in our first tournament as an organization a few months ago.
Nice.
In Garner, actually, at the, what was it called? The Iceplex. In conjunction with Kane Sled, and I think we placed third overall, if I'm not mistaken.
That's great.
Keep on.
Yeah. For a lot of us, it was our first tournament, so we were kind of, you know, going around like chickens with our heads cut off, but, you know, it was still fun either way.
That's outstanding. That's outstanding, Aaron. I can't even
tell more ice you. Time than I've gotten in 20 years.
Yeah, here too. My goodness, Aaron, that's outstanding. The fact that you're a player as well in a ridiculously difficult sport. Again, the hockey players that we've seen in the NHL have tried to put themselves in a sled, and they gain a whole new appreciation of body control and what you're doing. So that is absolutely amazing. Aaron, you're a Hurricane fan. We're gonna transition slightly, because we need to ask you a few questions. It's something in the Storm Cellar that we have just kind of started with the guests that join us, the Caniacs and Jerks alike. We have three questions for them, and it kind of leans into this time of year. First of all, I got to ask, I know we've called you Aho, but maybe Aho isn't your favorite Hurricane. Who's your favorite Hurricane on the team?
Okay, are we speaking current player, former player? Does it really matter?
It can be current. You can give us all of it. You could, if you wanted to,
just both. Tell us if there's different, yeah.
Yeah, 100% laid out there.
So as far as former players go, my favorite would be Cam Ward. I've always been partial to goalies for some reason. I don't know why. And then as far as current players go, that's a tougher answer. I would probably have to go with Svetch. I mean, he, nice. You know, good player, good personality, you know. I don't really like to choose favorites because it's kind of a, you know, favoritism sort of thing. But if I had to pick a favorite, it would probably be Svetch.
There you go. Okay, well, that's your first question. So there you go. An excellent choice with Cam. I mean, my goodness. Cam Ward. I mean, he's in the Canes Hall of Fame, too. So that was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Great choice. So the second question now. If we could guarantee that the Hurricanes would win a Stanley Cup, but you would have to trade away Svechnikov, would you do it? These are tough questions.
I would say, personally, no. I think he's too valuable of a player. He contributes a whole lot as far as recently to the Canes, or fairly recently, as far as his career with the team. I just don't see that. I think the benefits of having him on the team outweigh any potential downfalls while also winning the Stanley Cup. Does that make sense?
It totally does. I understand what you're saying. You'd rather win it with him than be guaranteed to win it without him. And so you'll, you know, live through him while he goes out and gets it. I mean, I'm kind of the same way. I wouldn't trade away my favorite Aho. I'd never trade him to guarantee a cup. I want him to win one because I think he deserves it. And I think he can do it. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And the last question, that's a great answer, Aaron. Now, your last question, and this is more in general, don't worry about trading anyone. Would you be willing to live through 5 years of the dark days like we've already experienced if I guaranteed you could win a cup this year? You win the cup this year, but afterwards, 5 years of not making the playoffs. Would you do it?
There's the sigh again. Let's see. Would I go through five years of mediocrity again?
Yeah.
Let's see. Well,
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. These are tough ones.
No, you're fine. No, I'm laughing too. I would say, yes, in the grand scheme of things, to me, 5 years isn't that long. However, we went through 10 years of mediocrity between 2009 when we last made the playoffs. I say we like I'm part of the team, but you know
what
I mean.
You are part of the team. You are part of the team. We all are.
Between 2009 when we last made the playoffs and 2019. So to me, in comparison, 5 years is not that long. So I would be willing to deal with that.
There you go. There you go. Thank you so much for taking part in that. It's tough putting you on the spot like that, but
Ray loves it. Look at him smiling.
But it's right. As a former journalist, I love these kind of questions. They're always fun. Brad, let's turn things to you and talk about recapping the last week, which had some ups and had some terrible downs.
Yeah, we finally put February behind us, right?
Yeah.
After we recorded last Sunday, 3-2 shootout loss to Buffalo, which stung, right? Not happy about that one. It feels like it's only been a couple years since the Canes just dominated in shootouts. So luckily we haven't had that many this year, but everybody's been brutal. I mean, nobody's really, doing a good job. Two midweek wins, the Wild and the Blue Jackets, which, I feel like should be expected, but you never know. And then there's the Jets game and everybody, it was a meltdown. I mean, ourselves included, right? For folks, a lot has been made about the poke check. And I've seen people who are like, if you don't like that poke check, get out, because that's just Piotr being Piotr, which is fine. I didn't like it, but I'm like, he's young and he just needs to know, like, hey, if like Chatfield or somebody's right there, just try and let them deal with it and be ready to make a save, right? But that's not why they lost. They gave up 5 straight goals. I mean, 4 with, one empty netter, but they gave up 4 unanswered goals. The entire team went to sleep. I don't know if they had like taco buffet or like a spaghetti buffet after the second period, and they were just in a food coma. But that loss was not just on Piotr. Like that was bad, but it ain't that bad. It ain't that big a deal. But the whole team just looked terrible. And then you get 4 days off, which is like the worst thing, right?
And now you
lay a goose egg. God's not happy. And then they're like, oh, by the way, now go home and think about it for 4 days. The good news is they play the Habs in 2 days, and the trade deadline is in 3 days. So, at least you're playing a non-playoff team to get back in the saddle, although that has all the makings of a trap game. So
that could be very interesting in multiple ways, whether it be good or bad.
Yeah, right?
what was your take of that Jets game, Aaron? I mean, frankly, we had to put this recording off for a few more days because I needed to step back off the ledge. I was pretty upset. I don't know about you. How was it for you?
What was my take on the Jets game? Okay. I think, personal opinion, the team has a track record of taking the lead, doing everything that they, not that they're supposed to do, but that lead to potentially a good game. They take the lead and they do well, and then they hold off because they think they've got it in the bag. Spoiler alert, for the majority, well, not the majority of the time, sometimes, spoiler alert, they do not have it in the bag. So I think that's kind of what happened. They got comfortable. They thought they had it, had it done and over with for the most part. And then the Jets just exploded, for lack of a better term. They realized everything. They realized, oh, they think they've got this, and then proved them wrong. So am I upset about it necessarily, or am I as upset about it as I was? No. But am I surprised? Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know how best to articulate, but I'm disappointed, but I'm not necessarily surprised is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah. It's a great point, and it's something I know Brad and I can echo that sentiment easily, because we say it all the time.
Put on the gas.
Hey, guys, yeah, foot on the gas. It's the games are 60 minutes long, and don't ever let them up. And you couldn't let up on a team like Winnipeg, who, hey guys, they've got Hellebuck in net, and they've got a great lineup. They play really well, and when they assert themselves, they are tough to beat. They will be one of the, I mean, I think you could even call them a dark horse from the West in the playoffs. They could cause all sorts of trouble. And look, Kochetkov, he goes out and plays a just dynamite game, 1-0 shutout against Florida. And we all, and we here said, and I said specifically, that closes the book on ideas that we need a new goaltender or we need an improvement there for the trade deadline. And then he lets a soft one in. The very first goal that he let in against the Jets was soft. Like from the blue line, he wasn't prepared. He wasn't ready. And it beat him. And that was the spark that, you know, the Jets needed. And that poke check attempt, I don't know, maybe Kochetkov might need a reminder of this, but the entire league knows that he likes to do a poke check, that he lets go of his stick all the time. If you don't think for 1 second that the Jet player skating in with Chatfield on his back didn't know or sense that Kochetkov was coming out to play it and that all he had to do was to flick it to an open area and there was going to be a goal scored. I mean, I'm glad that this happened now as opposed to in the playoffs, but he needs to remember there are times when you can take those chances and there's times when you can't. And I can't think of a worse time to try to go out and poke check the opposition when it's Chatfield chasing the guy down. In my opinion, if there's a guy that's going in on a break and you know Chatfield's the guy that's chasing him down, stay in your net and be prepared to not even face a shot, because Chatfield's going to raise him down and take care of it. Like that, and that's what it looked, that's what really stung with me. Identify what's out there. Know what you have. And then suddenly, I mean, Chatfield was in the position to take care of it, but he took themselves out of the game, and there it was. And it was funny, the post-game remarks, Brad, I think you probably heard them too. Rod, in one sense, didn't throw him under the bus. You know, and he did say, yeah, you know, that first one was soft. The fourth fourth goal was kind of like, you know, but that's who he is. Like he protected and criticized him all in the same comment. It was terrific coaching gymnastics that he pulled off there. You know what I mean? Go ahead, Brad.
In Kochetkov's defense, he's been playing like a Vezina candidate for like weeks now. He had a bad game. He's in early 20s. He's a kid.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, that's of the things I saw last week. That game from a purely just from Kochetkov standpoint doesn't worry me all that much. It's not ideal. He'll learn from it. He's like, he feels like a Svech kind of player, right? He's going to be harder on himself than everybody else is going to be.
No question.
To shift things a little bit, this is what I took from last week. D'Angelo, Natchez, Teravainen, Aho, Shea, Jarvis, Stahl, Svechnikov, Nazan. Those were your goal scorers in the first three games. No duplicates. Each of those guys, you're getting scoring from all over. Then you go and, you know, even in the Jets game in that loss, Natchez, Teravainen, and Aho, the people who should score goals. So what I am choosing to take out of last week is the fact that the Canes are getting scoring from up and down the line, right? Everybody's contributing. That's what I'm worried about. Because if they want to make a deep playoff run with or without an addition to the deadline, you're going to need all those folks, you know, firing on all cylinders. And luckily last week we kind of got that, you know. So that's what I'm choosing to take from last week.
I think it's an excellent, take. And it's one of the, things you really have to consider in this, the final few hours before the trade deadline. And let's touch on that. We talked about it before. Aaron, here's Raymond putting you on the spot again. But when you look at the lineup and so forth, as far as trade goes, I mean, you know, Waddell signed Max Comtois just yesterday, and he's on waivers right now. But he is with the team. Where do you think? Does the team need improvement? First of all, do you think the team needs improvement? And if so, where?
Do I think in general the team needs improvement? In some areas, I would say yes. Mainly, okay. I'm thinking about it as a sled player. I'm thinking about it the way we sled players would try to navigate this, but it's not the same. It's similar, but not the same. But I think generally when we are on the offense and we are trying to score a goal as our that's the whole point of the game. I think there needs to be more traffic out front, or not even more traffic out front. Do I agree with people that there needs to be a goaltending change? No, in the words of my dad, you can only blame a goalie so much. You know, there comes a point where it's not just solely on the goalie. And the only thing I could see potentially being beneficial is making sure the players know that, hey, you know, if the first shot doesn't go through, we need to have more traffic out front so that we can get a rebound that could potentially make up for that. But that's really the only potential improvement that I could, that I can really foresee.
Aaron, that's great. It's one of the things that the Hurricanes, outside of maybe a couple of players, Brad, check me if I'm wrong, but I would say Nason and Jarvi are the ones that are willing to go to the front of the net and cause issues.
Bunting,
thank you. Bunting's the other one. The problem is what I see too often is that there are players that will go to the net, but they don't stay at the net for the opportunities. They do a lot of drive. It's like they kind of drive by, you know, they'll take their one chance. And if they don't get it there, they're not sticking around to muck it up. Like they just want to drive by. If they can get it there, fine. If not, I'm getting out of here because I don't want to take a cross check to the chops. Right. Brad, your take on all of this. I think Aaron makes a fantastic point.
Yeah. The Canes are not going to get a goaltender. I mean, I think that's been decided. I think that's been put to bed. I can't imagine, unless there was just a steal on Saros or Markstrom or somebody just, you know, unless it was just a really great deal, you know, you're just not doing that. So what does that leave us with? It's been put out there plain as day. The Hurricanes are looking for a fifth rounder to get rid of Tony DeAngelo, and they'll eat 50% of his salary. I mean, it doesn't get any more obvious. Like, we just want him out of here. We'll give us a fifth rounder. That's nothing in NHL terms.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see somebody else brought in for defense. It'll be another seventh person because it's not going to be Coughlin in the playoffs. So I think you're going to see a 7-8 D-man picked up. I think that's fairly obvious, even if D'Angelo doesn't get moved, because can you trust him in the playoffs when, you know, you've actively been shopping him and basically saying, we'll give him to you. We'll just here, take him, right? So that's one. And they need a goal scorer. That's the one position we need. We really need somebody who can fill in at 2C and solidify the lines. We have an abundance of talent up top, but it's what I say every year, right? If you're a middling team and you really don't have a chance to win the cup, then save your picks, you know, save your prospects, don't make a move and go on. But the Hurricanes are in a window where they have a legitimate shot. Money Puck still thinks we have the best odds for the cup. I think Money Puck is very... yeah, must be a caniac or is very, very generous.
I am...
Don't okay. apologize.
We like pups. That's fine.
Yeah.
So that being said, I say it every year. Your competition is going to get better. They're going to make a move. Like, it's just going to happen. There are too many names out there of people. The Rangers are very good, but you can actually catch them. You are 6 points back with a game in hand. It's not that far. You may not. I don't think you will, but you could. You're pulling away from the Flyers. Even the Islanders, like the Islanders could overtake the Flyers if the Flyers don't improve, because New York's playing a little bit better. There's not much time left, but other teams are going to get better. If you choose to stand pat, it's fine. If you can go, there's legitimately not an upgrade path here.
Yeah.
And people always say that is, well, don't mortgage the future. I'm not saying mortgage the future. I'm saying what I always say. If you can make a deal for a good player that improves your team without mortgaging the future, do it. Mm-hmm. You know, Guentzel's out there, Buchnevich, the names are all over the place. We were talking earlier about Henrik. We were talking about...
Vetrano.
And don't look on social media, because I keep seeing you can have Guentzel for Aho, Nikishin, two firsts, Bojangles franchise, and $4 million. Like, that's not, that's what's on social media. It's not what it's going to take. You do have to maybe outbid your competition. It sounds like they were legit in on Pettersson, which is awesome. Like, they even hear that it sounded like they were giving them a legitimate offer. So if a legitimate offer is to be had, go for it. I don't think Nikishin is somebody that I would put out there. I would give up. We have other prospects or even roster players. I mean, as much as I love guys like Jury and stuff, that he's played really well. Like, if you can get rid of him and get better, you know, it is a business, right? I mean, that's part of it. And as much as you like them right now, you're going to like the replacement probably great if he comes in to score some goals. So I think they do need to make, they do need to make a move. I don't know that Don is. You never know, right? Because, I like the people who say Don Waddell's in on every player. You know, you ask Don, Don's like, oh, well, we tried.
He kicks more tires than anyone.
I mean, but that's like saying
everyone in the league, right?
Yeah. That's like saying, I played the lottery this week. Like, I bought a dollar ticket and I didn't win, but I was there. Well, yeah, you were, but were you really? Like, was that really, you made a phone call, so you were technically in. Maybe you offered him, we'll give you a bag of pucks and a couple million bucks and some prospect or whatever. But there's making phone calls and being in, which is what Don should do. He should make a call about everybody who's better than who we have and just say, give me a ballpark. What are we talking about? And if it's too much, you say, well, thanks, great. I'll talk to you next week. But at some point we need to get better.
Well, and here's the funny thing. I think that standing pat is a really interesting dichotomy, right? In one case, it's a statement that says this is the team that is capable of winning it all, and I believe in you, and it gives you that sense that you are good enough to win. No one's making any statement to say, we got to improve these guys because some of them suck. And, if we can get rid of them, then fantastic. Right. Like, that's the one thing. So it gives each individual player a chuck on the shoulder to say, you can do this now, go get it done. So that's the first part. But then the second part of it all is the unwillingness to do whatever it takes to win. I guess maybe that's really what it comes to, is how valuable is a first round pick when you don't know the result of what the first rounder will get you.
There has been, going to be a low first round pick because exactly. You're going to be in the playoffs.
And there's first round flops, like first round picks that have been flops for as long as the league has been involved, right? So how valuable is it really? You know, Aho didn't get picked till the second round.
Don't trade any second round picks.
Slavin was a fifth rounder, right? If I recall correctly, he was a fifth round, fourth or fifth. I mean, you can't remember. So mortgaging the future, I mean, you can still do it. Like, we've got Morrow, we've got Suzuki. There's a couple of guys that we could throw in to make the improvement where we don't have to give anyone off the roster, right? When you say Henrique, I love that idea. You made that suggestion. He wants to go to a winner, and he would fit the 2C spot perfectly. If you wanted someone with a little more pop, Vetrano, Buchnevich, they're wingers. Maybe now's the chance that Natchez can prove he can be a center, and you bring it in and you make it that much better. I mean, there's lots of options out there. And look, Don's got the toughest job of all of us. Make no mistake, right? Like, we could do a number of things, and you're not going to please everyone. That's the other thing. It's a thankless job. You're doing what you think is best for the squad. And I know that Don is set on, we need to be able to sign them long-term, right? Vetrano, I think Henrique, I keep saying his name wrong or different every time I say it. Look, he's a UFA, right? So he's pure rental. Vetrano in Anaheim is good for next season, like Freddie Anderson is good for next season. But beyond that, not so much. How much are you willing to give up for one extra year? I mean, Don probably wants to sign him for 2-3 years, a bunting deal or something like that, where you could, if you're going to give something up valuable, which Vetrano would ask for a lot, you're going to have to give something up. Probably a player on the roster right now to get him. It's what the asking price as the time grows further to the deadline. It's the prices are going to go up.
Yeah.
GMs are going to get more desperate.
May I make a somewhat brief interjection here?
100%. Go ahead. Yeah, that's why you're here.
So firstly, just in my observations of, you know, 21 years now of Canes hockey, of my life, I think in general, personal opinion, again, he has one of the hardest jobs ever. I think generally Waddell tends to play a little too safe. I feel like he is hesitant to the point where he's apprehensive about making or taking, rather, any risks whatsoever. And you can't, in my opinion, you can't have a successful team without being willing to take some risks and potentially helping those players grow and develop, or else you're just either going to be in a perpetual state of mediocrity, or you're just going to be a locale for lack of a better word.
See, Brad, this is why we bring in guests, right? Because they have the wisdom and knowledge and common sense to share opinions.
Yeah,
like
nailed
this
it.
One like that, totally nailed it. Totally.
I'm gonna play a game.
Oh, here we go.
And my games are always one-sided. I always win.
You think I was bad, Aaron. Wait for this. Here we go.
Okay. Tell me if these people are important players in Canes history. Did they were they good in their respective years, right? Aaron Ward.
Yes.
Yes.
Sean Hill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kevin Weeks.
Oh boy. Yes.
Yep.
Ward was the only one of those acquired before the season started in 2001. Okay.
Isn't that nuts?
And I didn't even mention, I didn't even mention my favorite player, Kevin Adams and Brett Hedekin. Kind of important.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Adams, Hedekin, and Malik.
Kind of an understatement.
Right, right. So that team got you a win in the Stanley Cup Finals. Sean Hill was brought in December, midseason trade.
Yep.
Adams, Hedekin, Malik, January. Kevin Weeks was brought in March 5th. That sounds awfully close to the trade deadline.
Sure does. It was a great day, I got to tell you.
All right, round two. Mike Commodore.
Oh, my gosh. That robe.
Greg Adams?
Yeah, Adams.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm so far so good. Dougie Waite and Mark Recchi. because Adams, Waite, and Recchi were all brought in during the season. And the reason I bring it up is there are some people, and Don, we know, like Don wants to set his team in the offseason and then just ride it out. That's what Don wants to do. Aaron nailed it. He's very conservative, right? He would make a great accountant probably, doing things by the book. It's like the old adage, Ray and I are old enough to know, people who say nobody ever got fired by an IBM. That's true, but, you didn't necessarily, get any great gains or save a lot of money by not buying IBM and trying something new.
Yeah.
However, for the people who go, well, when's the last time you saw a player make a difference at the trade deadline? Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be at the trade deadline, but without the people that I just named, you're probably not in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2002.
Nope.
And you probably don't win a cup in 2006.
Right?
When you can make your team better, make your team better. Go ahead, Aaron.
Sorry, you were going through the list of people, and I was thinking, good God, like that is a stacked, that's like the creme de la creme of quality, like Canes acquisitions,
Yeah.
It's like, geez.
They brought so much in. It's that little, the leadership that guys like Waite and Recchi brought in, who'd been through the, the wars and stuff like that, and gave that leadership that the team needed to get over the top when they're going through the toughest things. Kevin Weeks was unbelievable pickup. Like, he was outstanding. And the reason, a very good reason why we made it to the Cup
Final. It's why we beat New Jersey.
Right. It's why we beat New Jersey. Exactly.
True.
Like, it's so, so important. So, yeah, Don.
I mean, if he stands pat, we roll with what we got, right? I still think we have a good group. I still think if they're clicking on all cylinders, they can go far. But there's room for improvement. Let's not kid ourselves. Have guys who, and this is the year. I think it was Aaron Manning on Twitter, mentioned vibes, right? Like the vibes all season have felt a little off. And they've said a bunch of times, like, guys not buying into stuff. You have, 3 days, less than 3 days. We're after, it's 4:37 as we're recording. You have less than 3 days to fix that. If you have people that you still think aren't a good fit, not buying in, whatever it is, do something about it. Like, you have time, right?
No question. Brad, another great episode. How do we do it? Oh, I know how we do it. It's the guests that we bring in. That's how we do it. That's why we have such a great show. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. You opened our eyes to sled hockey. And look, Brad and I, if you could see our core, you'd realize why we don't play sled hockey, because there's no way. I mean,
my doctor told me I can't skate.
Yeah, 2 minutes and I'd be a mess. I'd be throwing it in. So thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insight and your opinions. Fantastic. You make the show so much better. Thank you, Aaron, for joining us.
One quick question, Ray. The next game against the team that shall not be named. Do you want to predict? Bad game, 4-day layoff, trade deadline looming, playing a team that you should smoke.
Do you know what?
Do you want to?
I always want this, but even more so to make up for the game against the Jets. Let's say Canes 6, the team that shall not be named 0. Huh.
That's what about you, Aaron? You're really going all out there. Wow. Okay.
Well, it's the team that shall not be named. And I mean, I just cannot. It's a long, long story about the loathing that dwells within. I have a Schadenfreude thing for that team in particular. So, yeah, I want to see us put the boots to them. And let's have a Jarvis hat trick, just like last year. That would be outstanding.
Your loathing for that said team who shall not be named is kind of similar to me with Boston during the 2019 playoffs.
Nice,
I
mean, nice.
I think of that team and I just get PTSD. you know,
right?
me, my dad, and my stepmom were at the arena for game 3. And so whenever I think of that team, it's a physical reaction where I'm like, oh God, flashbacks.
Okay. Well,
at least y'all don't have to live here. I mean,
yeah, no,
it was brutal for a few years.
Brad is surrounded by the bees everywhere, being in mass. And I mean, I'm all the way out here in Calgary, so I don't have to worry about it so much, although everyone in Calgary is in a panic mode right now, trying to figure out what's going to happen to their team. Everything. It's going to be a crazy few days for sure.
They'll be curling next, or I don't know if it's too early for golf up there, but they'll be curling in a couple of weeks, man.
Well, there's curling already. I mean, they curl their butts off around here. Let me tell you that much.
Where's my father when you need him? He loves curling. Oh my God.
Seems like fun.
I enjoy it too. It's a great time. It's fun and very difficult to play as well. Brad, we've done so much. We've had such a great show. But there is something missing. Something I'm supposed to.
Taco Tuesday?
That sounds great.
We had tacos for lunch. Can we also have tacos for dinner? Is that allowed?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm an adult. What? It is.
I mean, yeah.
There you go. But Brad, oh, it hits me now.
Yeah.
Go Canes.
Go Canes.
Go Canes.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Ray and I greatly appreciate your support in helping us produce an informative and fun podcast. As always, we'd like to say that we believe hockey is for everyone. Whether you're a Caniac or a bunch of jerks, doesn't matter, as we're just a couple of jerks anyway. We would love to hear your questions, comments, and suggestions. We will do our best to answer anything hockey-related. You can reach us via email at stormseller97@gmail.com. On Twitter, we are @stormseller97, and on Facebook at facebook.com/stormseller97.